Accession number 12661, Mr. Jim Ray, Reel 3.
Mr. Ray, Reel 3. We were talking about a typical day while you were with the Ames squad at Fenham.
Yes.
What would you do after? We've discussed breakfast. What did you do after breakfast? What was the next thing in your day?
Well, we used to assemble on the square. We call it square bashing. Phase one. That was learning to turn to the left and turn to the right by numbers, marching in step. Wheeling to the left, to the right, and advancing in line, about turn, and retiring, holding, turning to the front by numbers. Up, one, two, three, and all that sort of thing, you know. It used to get the measurement of time and rhythm. That's why you counted these. You used to shout it at first. In the barrack square, shout it aloud, as loud as you could. The cop used to stand well away from the squad because you could hear his voice with it being enclosed in like a big square. His voice used to echo, so there was no mistaking a word of command at any time. And turning left and right, you know. That was a basic, and that was continuous for quite a number of days, getting rhythm and marching and movement.
Now, did you start with the DLI were light infantry? Did you start at light infantry pace, or did they teach you at a slower rate and then speed you up, or did you start out as you meant to go on?
Well, we had to start slowly by doing every movement by numbers, you see, and then it quickened up, the pace quickened up after that. Once you got the rhythm and the movement, then your pace gathered. It's the regimental pace, about 160 a minute, very quick. And then we had a form of rifle drills, you know. The usual routine of putting your rifle at the trail, putting it down again, ordering arms, shoulder arms, presenting arms, ordering arms again, and for inspection, port arms, and all these were regulated. These were the movements you would do all the days of your army life as a soldier with that rifle.
Was the rifle you were training with, that was a drill purposes only rifle, would it be?
They're called EPs, drill purposes.
And would it be an old Lee Enfield?
It was an old Lee Enfield. It could have had a Lee Enfield rifle, either new or old. All you had to do was take a striker out, and that was perfectly safe.
Did you enjoy drill then? I mean, I know you went on to be a bit of a drill expert, but when you started, did you enjoy it or see the point of it?
Yes, I liked it.
Right from the start?
Yes, right from the start.
Did people have trouble getting the rhythm?
No, not particularly, because if anybody had any trouble at all, marching or any peculiarity, he would take them outside and treat it as an individual to do the job right and then put back in, you see.
So that was the phase one.
This never happened to my squad. It could have happened elsewhere, but that's what would have been done.
So in the that was the first phase of drill. What was it? Then what did they go on to?
Well, it was all drill, and then we used to have instruction on the Lee Enfield rifle.
So how long in your typical day? What time would you start after breakfast doing drill?
Immediately after breakfast.
So about what time would that be?
That'd be about 8 o'clock.
And how long would you do drill before you?
Well, we used to do drill till about 11 o'clock and get a break. And sometimes...
So that's 3 hours?
Yes, but we used to get short breaks in between, you know.
And that would be every day throughout the...
Every day, yes. And there are other times when we were given instruction on rifles,
So where did this start with the rifle then? What, I mean... With rifle instruction, what was the first thing they tried to teach you about it?
Well, you got an introduction on the Lee Enfield, first of all. Its capabilities, number of rounds it was possible to fire in a minute, its purposes in warfare, its durability and its strength. And its power. That was it was more like the instructor was more like what he was doing. He was like a salesman. He was selling this to you, so that you were made us realize we had a good weapon in the Enfield rifle. Then there was the component parts of the rifle. From the one end, the barrel, the bayonet standard, to the butt plate, and the butt trap, the bottom, the cavity in the butt trap, what that was for. That was for your pull through. That was wrapped up neatly, and pushed in the butt, and the trap closed. And that was so precisely made. It was almost watertight. You had to ease it out with your thumb. You'll ease it up and you used to flip back, and there you are. You had your tackle in the butt for cleaning. So there was no danger of not saying, well, you had no cleaning tackle to pull through to get your rifle barrel clean.
Was there anything else kept in that cavity, just to pull through?
Just to pull through. Yeah. That is composed of the cord. You know what a pull through is, don't you? Oh, well, that's all right then.
You might as well say, just for the tape.
Well, I'd had a piece of brass on the end, tubular piece of brass with the cord attached inside of it, firmly fixed. It was almost a length and a half of the barrel itself. The barrel would be about 26 inches long from breech to muzzle, and you had sufficient with three loops on the end. One loop was used for flannelette, the other one was used for your gauze that was put in an S fashion around inside the loop that was taking the corrosion off. The 4x2 regulation flannelette 4x2 was 4 inches by 2 and marked off by a red line. In a roll of about 100 yards long, all wrapped up, it was real flannelette. And the end one was what's called for the armourer's hook. If the pull through snapped while you're pulling it through, from you always pulled from the muzzle to the breech. Am I right? Now, there's a point about this. It's usually the breech to the muzzle. The reason being that when you put it in the breech, you can get a better leverage and a straight pull through. You get no cord wear on the muzzle. But if you If you put it in the muzzle, you pull it through, you get a cord wear on the edge of the muzzle. And it wouldn't really damage the barrel itself. It'd be only the muzzle, the barrel itself on the rim.
So you had this briefing on that, and you'd be briefed about how to clean it, I presume. Yeah. And then what was the next stage of taking you through your rifle?
Oh, well, it was taking the bolt out, release the magazine, open the bolt, see that it was clear, lifting the ketchup at the end of the bolt, sliding it out, putting it in a clean place. That was all he did on that score. That was and all the action had to be clean, bright and slightly oiled at all times for action. The barrel had to be highly polished, because you go through the inspection whether you fired a round or not.
What was the inspection for a round? How did they inspect it?
You used to hold the rifle at the inspection, in the inspection position, and with the finger, thumbnail, and the cartridge guide, the clip guide, in front of that, and you used to reflect up the muzzle. And you could with the reflection, you could see if the inside was clean by the polish. If you wasn't satisfied, you used to put it up on the top, in that position, on the shoulder, and you could look through it at normal light. Then you'd come down to the standing position, and when you've passed it, flick your bolt once or twice to make sure it was empty, close it, squeeze the trigger and apply the safety catch, and come down to the standing position, stand at ease. Every one. You should start from the right to the left, go up again, down the other one.
And would most people pass that?
Well, you had to pass it anyway, because you couldn't get away with a dirty rifle at any price. If you did, you'd probably say, right, if you will carry on with the program right through the day, and so and so and so and so. If you've got dirty rifles, you'll show them to me in the spare time. You'll be cleaning your rifle while the other men are getting on with their other work, you know, cleaning up.
So what was the next stage with your rifle? Would they move on to actually teaching you how to use it then?
Oh, yes. You've got bayonet practice, and you...
What was a bayonet practice? We'll do that, bayonet.
Well, of course, speaking about the rifle, then we used to go on what they call the 25-yard firing range. But we didn't use 303. The rifles we used, they were Enfield rifles, but they used to have what they call a Morris tube inside that would take 2-2 ammunition. And the targets were rather small, at 25 yards. The yellow targets were on a sort of a rocker. There was no butts. And the target could be, by pulling the lever, the target could be up here and remain stationary. And the target was only very small. It was in black, half black at the top, and yellow underneath, and then the stem in the socket to keep it upright at all times. And we used to use them as targets. That was for aiming, you know. And besides, we used to get lessons in aiming.
I was going to ask you, because it's not as easy as it sounds, is it?
Well, we used to have what call a rifle. You had there used to be a tripod and a rest. The tripod used to be set, and your rifle used to be in a clamp. In a fixed clamp on the top. The target was set at one end of the barrack, singular, say a 4-foot target. That was for practicing. That was a regimental target, you know, and the bull, the inner, the magpie, outer, that was the target. And each one in turn used to lay a name. Now the aim was aim will be taken the top of the foresight in centre and in line with the shoulders of the U of the backside. This sight's aligned, aim at the central portion of the mark, which is 6 o'clock. The central portion of the mark was the bottom level of the bull was half black and half white, was more or less 6 o'clock from the top of the black edge down half the diameter. That was a central portion, and you had a complete, that was a complete ring, and you were dead on then. You had three, you get so many out of three to pass anyway. The NCO would come around, you stand back at one side. You had plenty of time through the aiming, and you would check it. And if it was all right, you'd just give the butt a tap and a swing off. So you'd write another one, and if it wasn't, and I've known some lads, you know, when they've been done, he'd come back and say, "Are you sure about that aim, Nesbitt, or some of his name?" "I think so." "Now go and have another look." And when he looked again, it'd be slightly off. Hawkeye was there, you know. "Now try again." But well, he'd failed on that one, and if he'd passed, he'd knock the butt down and swing it, and then do another one. 3 out of 3, well, that's it, 100%, isn't it? You passed. You could aim. That was one thing you're sure about.
And did you have any trouble?
No. Oh, I got through it all right.
So you'd been taught how to aim, mm-hmm. and then you went on the 25-yard range.
That's right, yes.
And was there anything new they were bringing in there?
Well, this was all the practice put into perfection, isn't it, really? And you used to get down, you know, 4 or 5 was the first detail. You used to have 5 rounds.
You fired lying down then?
Yes, in prone position. Oh, yes. Oh, I think you used to use a sandbag for a rest first. A sandbag in front of put your rifle on. That was like supposed to be firing over cover, you see, I think, anyway.
Was there a set position for lying down? Because some people found the army's prone position difficult. I mean, were they still doing a very rigid prone position, or did you have to, or could you lie as you were comfortable?
Well, I never found any discomfort lying in the prone position. All you had to do was throw your rifle forward, catch it with the left hand, right hand down, fling your left foot to the rear and the right, and lower your body down. And your body, instead of being directly behind the rifle, was oblique. You like an angle to the firing. It was quite good in as much. Firing 2-2, there was no kick at all. Just like a squirt. You know what I mean? But firing 3-0-3, it had quite a different effect. Because you used to thump back on your collarbone. You knew you fired a 303.
I'll come to, so on the 25, you were, it was it easy to put the aiming theory into practice?
Yes, it was. It was very practical and very commonplace. It was the easiest thing anybody could do to teach a person how to aim correctly.
So you'd got through that as well.
Yeah.
What was the next stage in being taught?
Well, we used to do normal. One week on the range, we used to have little competitions, as a matter of fact.
On the 25-yard range?
Yes. So many hits out of five, you know. And rapid fire. Used to do rapid fire as well. Because the rapid fire was held down. After you fire the first shot, the target used to disappear. And you'd go up at any given time by the operator. That used to be one of the squad commanders. Used to flop up and then used to fire each time, you know. And then the shots were noted on the targets, and the person who had fired the shots, you see. Some were very good, some might have had a couple of misses, have three on, some might have four, some have five. And we used to have what called grouping. See how many shots out of five you get in the smallest group in the centre of the target. That was called grouping. Well, that was 100% having five. This could be done at 100 yards on the rifle range. And it was quite easy to do it at 25 yards with a 2-2. In the covered in range.
So when did you go on to the rifle range, a full size Lee Enfield rifle range?
Well,
there wouldn't be one at Fenham, would there?
Well, no, there wasn't one. The nearest rifle range that I can remember was somewhere on the coastline, the Northumberland coastline. The Witten range, or Whitley range, Whitby range, something. Because we used to have Whitley Bay up there, see, and it was further up the north, up the coast, and used to fire out at sea. You know, the targets were on the coastline, and they used to have a red flag at either side. At all times, in any range, there were always two red flags. Yeah.
So that's where
danger zone.
That would be a special event going to the firing range to fire your course.
Yes.
What? That would be the first time you'd fired at Lee Enfield properly, then.
Yeah.
You mentioned the kick. What was the kick like?
Just like a sharp punch in the shoulder blade, on the shoulder. You'd feel it. You'll kick back, but the tighter you pulled that butt into your shoulder, the better it was. Your shoulder would move with the recoil. If you held it loose, it would catch your collarbone and used to bruise. They're very sore.
And did you have any trouble then with the full-size version, or had the training worked? When you got there, were you able to fire it accurately?
Yes. And anyway, we used to have what they call an annual range practice. That used to have every year. But this was actually for your proficiency test. In 1931, on the rifle range, that was at Catterick Deer Park Range, Bellaby. That's where the rangers were. The deer.
That's later on, but yes, go on, tell me.
1931. First class. 1932, marksman. 1933, marksman. 1934, I had something wrong with the foresight there, and it was second class. 1935, I had that re-corrected, that foresight. It must have been something that had happened to it. 1935, marksman. 1936, marksman. 1937, marksman. In 1938, I was transferred to the Army Reserve. So each year, you used to have to go on that rifle range. You used to fire the Enfield rifle.
And what was the course?
Pardon?
How many times would you fire in a course?
Well, we had to fire 200 yards, 300 yards, 400 yards, 500 yards, and 600 yards. That was the distance, 600 yards. But the target was a 4-foot target up to 400 yards, 500 yards at the 6-foot target, to 600 yards. We enlarged the target on those two measurements of spaces.
And how many shots would you fire at each distance?
Five. You only had five. You used to go up in details.
So five shots at each target at each distance?
At your own target. Yes, in the range. You had your own target. If you fired on anybody else's target, well, I think you got a reprimand and you lost points, didn't you, by that one rifle, that bullet.
And you did a course like this at somewhere near Whitley Bay?
No, we weren't allowed to. The people who used that range, they would be... the people who used that range, they would be territorials. They used that range. Territorial, they did, definitely. They used that range.
So did you actually fire a full course during your training at Fenham?
No. I only fired my first course.
At Catterick?
At Catterick, yes.
Okay, well, we've gone ahead a bit there, but that's all right. This is one thing you were doing during... Would you do this sort of rifle session during the morning, or would that always be drill?
That'd be drill.
Right.
Arms drill. Arms drill and marching and arms drill.
Right. So then you'd have your dinner.
Yes.
What time would that be, roughly?
About 12 till 1.
And what would you... You mentioned same arrangements, but what sort of food did you get for dinner?
We got vegetables. About two or three veg, meat, gravy, and sometimes Yorkshire puddings, but it varied.
And again, it was all right.
Oh, yes.
So in the afternoon, that's when you do the rifle sort of training.
Same again, the same routine again, marching, rifle drill, and I was appointed the right-hand man of the squad.
What did that involve?
Fixing and unfixing bayonets and wheeling on the right. And now used to be a pivot.
So you'd sort of mark time while they went round?
More or less till they went round, yes.
Now what about the other weapons? Did you get...
Lewis gun.
What about bayonet fighting? Did they?
Yes, you used to have a dummy fixed in a frame. And
was that at Fenham?
Fenham, yes.
And what did you have to do?
Well, we had to approach the dummy, make one point, centre, followed by a short point, followed by a jab. That's going in the first time, and the second time with the foot forward, and the jab was underneath the head.
Underneath into the bottom of the throat.
Throat, yes. Then withdraw, rifle forward, and left foot. Pass through, and you went through, then the others, they did the same. And then you went around, and you formed as you would be in the original first man again. And then we used to get